ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
There is no way the Church of Jesus Christ can join a one-world church. There's no way, unless you take Jesus out. And isn't that what we see in the Scriptures, right? In Revelation, in the letters that Jesus wrote to the seven churches in Asia Minor, what was the church of Laodicea? Where was Jesus? He's outside the church knocking to get in. So this is the apostate last days church where Jesus is not even in the church. He's knocking for them to open the door. You see, that's how you become part of the one world church. You ignore all the doctrine. You take Jesus out and you can become part of it. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. That's straightforward. There's no exceptions. There's no other way you can go. It's only through Jesus. But now you take him out of the picture, and you can be part of this global church. There, again, is the danger. Daniel Webster made this comment in 1823. He said, if religious literature is not widely circulated among the masses in this country, I do not know what is going to become of us as a nation. Interesting, huh? If truth is not diffused, error will be. If God and his word are not known and received, the devil and his works will gain the ascendancy. If the evangelical volume does not reach every hamlet, the pages of a corrupt and licentious literature will. If the power of the gospel is not felt throughout the length and breadth of the land, anarchy and misrule, degradation and misery, corruption and darkness will reign without mitigation or end. Did he nail that? Now, you would think he's speaking today. That was way back in 1823. And he nailed it. Look at our country today. Look at what is going on. The immorality, the violence, the no respect for people at all. We've taken God out of the picture. What do you have? It's replaced with the darkness. And we've allowed this to come into our nation because I think we've become lax as Christians. You know, every other group is very bold to stand up for what they believe in, right? But, oh, I don't want to, you know, upset anyone. Well, you're going to upset people. Everywhere Paul went, he upset people, right? The poor guy. Everywhere he went, he'd go in the Jewish synagogues to teach first, and they would throw him out. And then he'd go to the Gentiles, and they were a little bit more open. But yeah, we're to contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. Paul told Timothy, a young pastor in 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 and 7. If you instruct the brethren in these things, you'll be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine, which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness. In other words, Timothy, teach the people the word of God. Build them up. They need to be spiritually healthy. Think about it. If we ate junk food all the time, we would not be physically healthy and we'd be prone to illness, right? The same is true spiritually speaking. We need to be built up in the faith so we're not taken in by these false teachings. And the focus is on godliness, holiness. Exercise yourself towards godliness. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 and 5 through 5. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why? Why is that so important? He says, for the time's going to come when they're not going to endure sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they're going to heap up for themselves teachers, and they're going to turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or fairy tales. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So what was Timothy supposed to do? Preach the word. Preach the word of God. Well, again, in season and out of season, when people want to hear it and they don't want to hear it. You know, when my kids were growing up, they didn't want to eat their vegetables. But they needed to eat their vegetables. And so we made them eat their vegetables because it was healthy for them. The same is true for us. Maybe we're in a season where we don't want to really hear the word of God because we're feeling a lot of conviction. But Paul tells Timothy, don't stop just because they don't want to hear it. Don't use that to build up your church by watering things down or making it more entertaining. You preach the word of God when they want to hear it, when they don't want to hear it, because it's what's needed. And that's important today. This is the role of ministry, to preach the word of God. Now, again, you may be thinking, what does this have to do with contending for the faith? You have to teach these people that God has entrusted to you the truths of God found in the word of God, so they're prepared for battle. Now, you may feel that you're, not me, I'm fine. I would never be taken in by false teaching. These guys are good. They're slick. You know, I'm not picking on car salesmen, but I've been taken in by them. Sorry. We bought a car. It was only used by one, and I hate to use this expression, but it was a little old lady. One person owned this car, and we needed a car bad. We had a young family. And this guy said, the car's been checked by our mechanics, everything is fine. And I trusted him. I mean, he was like a grandfather to me, you know? I was young back then. And so I trusted him. He's not lying to me. You know, this looks like a nice car. There's not a lot of rust on it. This will do for our family. And we got out driving, and Julie said she started going 40, 45, 50, and the whole car started to vibrate, shake. Well, that's not good. I'm not a mechanic, but that's not good. And so she took it in and got it checked. And I guess I think they're called tie rods. Thank you. I know nothing about cars. And the guy at the repair shop said, I'm sorry, you can't even drive this car home because that is so rusted that it could just break and you're going to be in serious trouble. Well, we got sold a lemon here. So we would go back to the dealership and I said, hey, look, you said this car got checked. We got it. It's doing this, and now we got it checked. And they said the whole thing's ready to fall apart. And the guy looked at me like he didn't even know me, wouldn't even talk to me. You see, that's how good they are at selling a product, these false teachers. Jim Jones. I'll give you an example. Jim Jones. Some of you know that. I'll explain them to you. He started out teaching the Bible. He had Bible studies. But then he started going a little bit off. Not a lot, you know, come on, just a little bit here and there. It got to the point he moved his congregation to Guyana. I think they were in Indiana. Then he started to teach that he's God. Think, oh man, if we heard that, we would be out in a sight. Understand, he didn't start out that first Bible study saying he was God. It was slowly moving away from the truths of God found in the Word of God till they got to the point where now he said that he was God, and they were worshiping him, and what, several hundred people died drinking the cyanide grape juice. That's how dangerous it is. They don't start way out there, but they start off just a little bit, and they get farther and farther away. That's the danger. Paul again told Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed, the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Yeah, fight that good fight of faith. It's a battle out there. You know, I don't like confrontation. I really don't. I love it when things go smoothly, but, you know, the Lord has other plans many times. You have to deal with issues. You have to deal with problems. And I always thank God that he has always given me the words to say or let me know what I needed to do. But we're in a battle. And I always think about salmon when they're going upstream, the battles they face. And I've watched these salmon, and I'm like, are you crazy? How much easier just to do nothing and just drift back downstream? But no, they forge ahead. And that's what we're doing. I mean, look at this world today. Look at our society today, how much they're coming against what we believe, the truths of God found in the Word of God. And it's only going to get worse. You know, look at the companies where you get a job and you have to have your woke training, right? You know, you have to accept all kinds of rarity lifestyles. You could be whatever you want to be that day. They're making us or trying to conform us into the image of the world. But God said, let me transform your life by the renewing of your mind. How do we renew our mind? By the Word of God. You see, there is the key. And it is a battle. But the Lord is always with you. You know, I think we lose sight of that. We're not doing these things in the power of our own strength. We're doing them by the power of God working in us and through us. And we better be in prayer in these days. I mean, believe me, I thank God for all those that were praying for Vacation Bible School. I mean, we had an awesome week. It was challenging, no doubt, but an awesome week. What great weather. Usually it's about, you know, 222 degrees out when we have vacation. I'm exaggerating a little. It's probably only 190. But next week it's supposed to be really warm. So, you know, praise God, we had a really good week and just the blessing. But that was because of prayer. It wasn't because we put together such a great program. No, it was prayer, and God was working with those kids because He loves them more than we do. I think that is so important that we take a stand for what we believe in. It's like Paul said in Hebrews 13:6, that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" There's the key. You know, when I wrote the letter to the Herald Times reporter in the opinion section against the pastors that were standing for homosexuality, and I prayed, "Lord, help me to do this in a way that's loving and that would challenge them to look at what they believe." And He gave me just the words to say. Now I pray that they read it. I pray that they're thinking about it. You know, I challenged them. Because they said basically, and I'm going to share the letter probably in a week or two or so. I'll share both letters. But they basically said that we're non-judgmental. We love everyone. So the key for them, love is being non-judgmental. And I said, in my letter, I basically said, well, that means you accept everything and anything. So there's nothing wrong because then you would be judgmental. I said, you don't feel that way. You make judgments on things that are right and things that are wrong. And we make judgments on things based on God's word, not how I feel. I pray that they're challenged by that. I'm not trying to put them down, but I want them to evaluate their stand on immoral lifestyles. And we need to contend for this faith. You know, I like, and it'll be a few weeks before we get to these verses in Jude, but in verses 20 and 21, Jude said, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." You want to be effective in your Christian life. You want to be able to defend your faith as others attack. Be built up in the faith. Study the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Be in prayer. Keep yourself focused upon God. One writer said this regarding soldiers in a battle. Said, "Soldiers who have fought in battle say that when bullets start flying, the mind goes blank and switches to autopilot. This is where the proper training is of paramount importance. Soldiers can be expected to be effective in battle if they've been shown something only once, or cannot be expected to be effective in battle if they've been shown something only once. They must be drilled in military skills until those skills become second nature. Then when the bullets start flying, trained soldiers will automatically respond with the appropriate action or maneuver without conscious thought of what should be done. There are many battles in the Christian way of life. At any moment, we may suddenly find ourselves attacked for our beliefs. When the bullets start flying, if we're not prepared, we'll not have an appropriate answer or action to defend our faith. When suddenly put on the spot, it's common for our mind to go blank. At moments like these, we are only as good as our training. If we as Christian soldiers are not properly prepared, we'll be sitting ducks to worldly thinking that denies God and promotes self. It's only a matter of time before we end up casualties in the spiritual war. But if our soul is inoculated with God's word, we will have already answers to defend our faith, and we're going to respond with the right action, grace. When we're occupied with Christ, we'll not react with uncertainty, anger, or self-righteous judgment. We'll be imitators of our Lord, calm and graceful under fire, confident in our belief and considerate of others in theirs. Put on the full armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the devil's schemes or the wiles of the devil." And you know, for me personally, you know, many of you know that I was an ICU nurse for some 30 years, worked in ICU, cardiac care, open heart units. And no military background, but lots of intensive care work. And I was trained and trained and trained. And when there's a code blue, when someone's arrest and their heart goes into what we call ventricular fibrillation, where the heart's just quivering, no blood's being pumped, nurses respond in all kinds of different ways. Some of them will go get the AMBU bag to give them oxygen. Some will start compressions. For me, it's an electrical problem, and you have to deal with the electrical problem. The first thing I go, I get the crash cart, I put the pads on them, I charge them up, and I yell, clear, boom. And usually the first shock is given before any doctors or anyone else gets there, because that's what they need. Why didn't I get fearful? Why didn't I go, oh man, I don't even know what to, because I've been trained. This is second nature. This is the problem. This is what I need to do. And there's all kinds of problems that can happen, and you evaluate the situation and you deal with it as you've been trained. Same is true in our Christian lives. How are we going to respond? It's because we've taken in the Word of God. And now God brings, by the Holy Spirit, brings that Word forward, and we're able to deal with these situations. We're able to give answers. One of the questions this week, one of the young girls asked that, why is God called God? I mean, it was a great question. I said, well, usually a lot of times his name is, he's called Yahweh, because he becomes to us what we need. He's everything that we need. And man, that was like one of those questions you go, wow, I don't know how I'm going to answer this in a short period of time. I was kind of like bewildered at first. And the Lord just said, you know what? Yahweh, just I'm what they need at any given moment. Thank you, Lord, because I could have given like 3-hour teaching on that one, and that's not what they needed. They needed something simple. I like what Peter said in 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. He said, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. How do you prepare for battle? How do you train? In the things of God. You have to know what you believe so you can defend your faith before others. Continue to grow. And in the Greek, it's saying, never stop. You keep growing in the grace of God. You know, if we ever think we know it all, look out. How could you know everything about an all-knowing God? You can't. And he always reveals things to us. You know, I shared with you before, man, I'll be reading a passage of scripture that I've probably read 30, 40 times, and I'm reading it, I'm going, wow, I never saw that there. How could that be? How can it? Because the Holy Spirit was opening it up to me. I was seeing it. And that's how we grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We learn of him. Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Did you notice here it doesn't say set your mind on CNN. It says set your mind on the things where? Oh, above. We are so focused on everything that is going on in this world. And isn't it amazing? Every day there's new prophecy coming to pass, and you could spend your entire life dealing with that. But what about setting your minds on God? What does that do? Setting my mind on things above. He's told me the end of the story. You see, when I start focusing on the things here and what these people are doing and how could they get away with this and what's happening over here? How could this happen? What's happening to me? Oh, I'm getting angry. Now I'm mad. They don't get away with anything. As I told the kids this week, God wins. God wins. He's not losing now. Because he's already told us what's going to happen. You set your mind on the things above so that the things of God can flow not only into your life, but through your life. Because those people that are so anti-God and hateful and just want to smack you are the ones we're to love. You know, it would be really nice if God said, you know, Joe, just I'm going to send some really cute, adorable people your way, and you're going to share the gospel message. And they go, oh, thank you, Joe, for sharing. That's so wonderful. I accept you. How many of you have had that experience? Yeah, none of you, right? Because it's usually a battle. Why is it a battle? Because Satan doesn't want them saved. So you pray. Jesus sent the disciples out two by two. Why? I think one of them was praying and the other was sharing. Prayer is so important because this is a spiritual battle for the lives of these people. And even if they get angry and they don't want to hear it anymore, you shared with them and you pray, Lord, maybe all this anger is conviction in their life. Maybe they've heard about you, and maybe one of their relatives or grandmother was a Christian, and it's just eating at them. Wherever they go, they're hearing about Jesus. I remember my wife, she had to go years ago up to Minnesota to Mayo Clinic, and she was with a friend up there because I had to come back to work down in Chicago. And there was this woman there, and Julie was sitting next to her waiting for the bus. And the woman said to my wife, "Where can you go to find a good man?" Okay, well, my wife goes, "Well, you know, going to church would be a really good place." Oh, my gosh. You should have heard her. I won't repeat it, but you should have heard her. She was so angry. Wherever I go, all I hear about is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And my wife is like, "Yeah, he's probably trying to get a hold of you, right?" And when they got on the bus, I don't know how this happened. My wife didn't sit with her friend. My wife was sitting by herself, and the only other spot for this woman to sit was next to my wife. Tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. So God was working on her heart everywhere she went. Someone was sharing Jesus with her. You see, that's how God works. It's that conviction. And people can fight it. But you pray, Lord, soften their heart, open their eyes that they may come to saving faith. And it's not easy. You know, in verses 22 and 23 of Jude, Jude said, and some have compassion, making the distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of fire, hating even the garment defiled by flesh. So again, this is not a battle to see who can win and who can lose. It's a battle of souls of people. And as you encounter those who believe in the lies of the devil, Jude wants us to have compassion on them. Don't you feel sorry for them? Because I was there, you were there at one time. And you reach out to them in the love of Christ. You know, the love of God tends to lead most people to repentance. Because aren't people looking for love today? They are. I mean, look at all the shows that are all about love. It's just not godly love. But they're looking for love and they never find it on these shows because it's a fleshly love. It's a love, you give me what I need, and when I can't get any more from you, I'm going to somebody else. And here God says, I love you unconditionally. I died for you because I love you. And many come to faith through that. But the other end of the spectrum, there are some you have to dangle over the fires of hell. You know, God will show you. His Spirit will give you wisdom in what to say. But most of the time, probably 90, 99% of the time, people need to hear about the love of Christ for them. But there are those that have to be, dangled over the fires of hell. You know, some 282 years ago, a sermon was preached entitled Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God by Jonathan Edwards. He preached it at Church of Enfield in Connecticut on July 8, 1741. And one writer points out, the focus of the sermon is on the predicament of the sinner, how dreadfully he dangles just before he plunges to eternal agony, and while he has time to repent and be saved. And this is just a small excerpt from what Edwards said. He said, "You hang by a slender thread, with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it, and ready every moment to singe it and burn it asunder. And you have no interest in any mediator and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself, nothing to keep off the flames of wrath, nothing of your own, nothing that you ever have done, nothing that you can do to induce God to spare you one moment." It wasn't really a touchy-feely type of message. But here's the thing. Jonathan Edwards had not really good eyesight. And he spoke in a monotone. And he would just read his sermon, and people would be falling on their knees, repenting of their... He had to stop and take a look. And then he continued on. How could that be? I mean, he wasn't flashy. He wasn't entertaining. Because it was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the work, guys, not us. We think, if I only presented it this way, you know what? What God gave you, trust in it and pray that that person's heart would be open. Some people need to understand that apart from Christ, That's where they're going, to be dangled over the fires of hell. But again, like I said, for the most part, people need to feel that they're loved. And again, that's something that with these children, every single one knew that they were loved and cared for, that we love them. And we want them to know Jesus. And we want them to have fun to learn about Jesus. And they did. It's because we're speaking the truths of God found in the Word of God. We have to contend for that faith that's been entrusted to us.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's Word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's Word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.